Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everybody to our show, episode 6 in the new year 2023. I am your founder and co-host, Pedro Thomas. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Stock Talk with Pedro podcast show, featuring my DJ on the ones and twos, DJ Innovator, and also co-host. And we'd like to thank you for tuning in to our show tonight for the first show in 2023. With that being said, the show tonight is brought to you by PNT Multimedia Group and Publishing LLC on behalf of Madison Lane Brands. With that being said, we have a big show tonight. We are first going through rebranding of the podcast show. We're going to talk about the current state of cryptocurrency, Coinbase, what's going on with Binance, Genesis versus Gemini, with the Winklevoss twins, with their crypto exchanges. Different trending topics. Where is Kanye West? Everybody wants to know. We're also going to be talking about that Soul Raven star, Orlando Brown, that was arrested for domestic violence at a fight at his brother's home, allegedly. And last but not least, tonight we're going to be tuning in on a story out of Laverne, Tennessee, where five officers of the Laverne Police Department in Tennessee have been fired and at least three others suspended for reportedly engaging in sexual activity during the agency's night shift, as well as lying during the internal investigation, according to multiple reports. The Laverne Police Department confirmed on Monday that Officer Megan Hall, Officer Juan Lugo Perez, Sergeant Henry Ty McGowan, Sergeant Lewis Powell, and Detective Seneca Shields have been terminated for sustained allegations. The suspended officers have been identified as K-9 Handler Officer Larry Holiday, Officer Patrick Mugoko, and Officer Gavin Schrobrill. With that being said, I'd like to get into the show. And tonight, again, what is going on in the current state of cryptocurrency? It seems like all of these different exchanges are going down, and I mean down, like the rocket is already touched down and is blown to bits, blown everything to bits. Binance, strictly just out of nowhere with $12 billion allegedly lost, unaccounted for. just completely gone within days. Some people report, some say weeks. The downfall and questioning of the Winklevoss twins in regards to the Genesis versus Gemini crypto exchanges that have now been going through turmoil as a result of what happened with FTX. You know, again, it just seems like a bad domino effect is happening in the state of cryptocurrency, and it's really just going. You know, Innovator, what you got on the topic?
It just pretty much what you said, just wrapping it up. Binance being the world's largest crypto exchange admitted Tuesday. So we're saying that was just yesterday that they admitted to flaws in its system that left its supply of Binance Smart Chain BUSD, one of the company's stable coins, which is purportedly backed one-to-one by the U.S. dollar, under collateralized by at least $1 billion. Think about that. So they're saying that they're uncollateralized by $1 billion. That is substantial. And it's, you're starting to see the chings and the, you know, dings and the armor. Like, once, you know, heralded Binance is looking suspect too, pretty much on the heels of coming off this big FTX, you know, blunder of what literally seems like a big Ponzi scheme. Now we're hearing that Binance is having issues. We're hearing that Gemini, the Winklevoss twins, their cryptocurrency exchange is having issues. And so the once heralded cryptocurrency format is starting to look like a bunch of smoke and mirrors. It looks like a grand Ponzi scheme to me. I said this in other shows, that on the surface, the premise of cryptocurrency looks to be the wave of the future, but I think we're too far ahead of the curve because there was no regulation and just all of these exchanges shooting up overnight, all these coins, altcoins, stable coins shooting up overnight, and everything is starting to seem like, hey, you got all these investors that poured their heart, money, soul, their coins, their dollars, their retirement fund, their 401k, and, you know, different, and income tax money. Because, you know, it was the new wave of folks were like, hey, man, I bought me some crypto. And everybody was just gung-ho without doing the research. And then you heard the so-called experts get on all of these podcasts and talk about cryptocurrency and, you know, you got to get it and do this and do that. And then now everybody's reeling back.
Where I'm coming from is, how are they crypto experts? Like, nobody's a crypto expert. Literally, I think America is seriously behind the times with cryptocurrency, regardless anyway. It didn't even originate in the United States, first and foremost. We're just getting hip to the game. With that being said, over East, where it all began, they basically got 10 years on us, you know, in regards to cryptocurrency. Cryptocurrency has been out a long time. It's been around a long time. It just didn't hit the United States like that unless you were like a Winklevoss twin or like a Mark Zuckerberg, unless you were or a Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos, extremely wealthy. So with that, if you're stating all of these crypto experts because they may be holding 5 or 6 Bitcoin, you know, to be able to afford that versus someone like myself, it's just who basically has the same knowledge if not more or less, doesn't matter. But with that being said, how does that make them experts? And I'm just, it just baffles me.
They're not experts. Let's dial it back and call it what it is. They're not experts. They are people that are probably a little bit more versed in the lingo. They're probably a little bit more versed in what it represents, what it does. But I wouldn't necessarily call them an expert because they just know a little bit more. That means they're just well-versed. An expert to me is a little bit different. Like, they're the bar none. Like, nobody knows more. They are higher in the hierarchy of things. And so all of these alleged crypto coaches, all these alleged crypto coaches and crypto experts are not, because they're in the same boat you and I are in if we were to have invested the way that they preached investing. Like, dude, I was seeing on, you know, Facebook, Instagram feeds, Forex, you know, do this and get involved and you can make these numbers. And so many people were buying into this stuff because they were not doing the research. They're seeing people show you these big numbers, right? And I hate to be the guy to say this, but a lot of people were straight stupid with the regard, and I'll say probably just not uninformed, because you're seeing a snapshot, a picture of somebody showing an account, which can be faked, which can be manipulated, which can be photoshopped to show you an account with more zeros than you probably thought or seen, and like, yeah, they're making money, so I can make money too. That is where Ponzi schemes originate. And to me, regardless of where cryptocurrency started, I, in my mind, feel like it was started to funnel and push and pull money in a way that wasn't traceable, you know, and a way to manipulate and move money for possibly drug cartel, money laundering, and such. Reason I say this is because no financial institution in the United States, you may say they're behind, but they did not totally understand it. And so you have to think about that. There's a lot of financial experts working in the banking institutions. So, and I'm not saying they're the, you know, be it all, they know everything, but they were not able to grasp how this thing worked. So what did they do? They didn't, you know, start their own coin. You don't see a Chase Bank coin. You don't see, you know, JP Morgan. You don't see Bank of America. You don't see US Bank. You don't see Regions Bank. You see them investing in other companies, and those other companies are starting to fade because nobody really knew, but nobody wanted to get left behind. So, and not wanting to get left behind, you take, hey, well, they could take those losses. They could take a $100 million loss. They can throw that and write it off.
Mm-hmm.
You and I can't do that. But if I have 200K, 300K in my 401, and I take that money and throw it in there and I lose it, boy, I can't write it off like the bank can. That's just, I'm screwed. And so when people were making those kinds of moves uninformed, riding the wave, it comes back full circle. So we're here right now, and we're seeing this slow implosion of all of these exchanges, and they're feeling the hurt. Because to me, FTX should not have had that much of a dynamic effect on all the others, since they all had their own coins and their own holdings. You know what I mean? Like, my next door neighbor lose his job, lose his house. That's his situation. My situation should sustain me. You can see that all of this was kind of, you know, smoke and mirrors, because, you know, Binance is kind of buckling over here. Gemini twins are, you know, I call them the Gemini twins, the Winklevoss twins, but their exchange is buckling. And to give you a little bit more head space on that, so they work pretty much how FTX was with the, what was the other company that FTX basically lent money to before they were like keeping them afloat. Well, I can't think of that company right off the bat.
I know you're talking about.
But they were an exchange too. So the Winklevoss twins, they're Gemini. Basically, they were having like a high yield program that they were bringing through another entity called Genesis. So there were people that took money through to the tune of $900 million. That's nothing to shake a stick at, $900 million. And because of FTX, and, you know, when those folks start saying, hey, you know, you go to the bank, I need my $300 I put in, and you can't pull it out, well, we don't see it in the drawers, then there becomes a problem. And in essence, when that panic happens, more people are going to those exchanges, drawing their funds out and can't get them because they don't have the liquidity to pay it out. Then that is when you start seeing these companies start to, you know, literally implode. So that's kind of where we are. And, it's nothing to laugh at. It's nothing to be like, I told you so, but it is extremely scary in the space of cryptocurrency right now.
And I mean, like completely, the Winklevoss toy is completely caught off guard. Especially when you have Celsius that went down as well. And it just seemed like FTX just started the bowling ball, just boom, just knocked down all 10 pins. And it seems like that's happening. Outside of crypto.com and KuCoin, as well as Upland, have not even been talked about. Okay. Kraken has not even been mentioned. DeFi wallets have not even been talked about. And I'm thinking, you know, with those type of entities, you know, where there aren't any issues at the moment, what do you think is going to happen with them? You know what I'm saying? Like, do you think, you know, the bowling ball would hit them too?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, like, you'd have to be naive to not really see the bigger picture, because the whole premise of making money in any form or fashion is taking somebody else's money to do something with it to make more money, and then you bring them back to, you know what I'm saying? You bring it back to them.
Like the investment. Right.
Cryptocurrency has been the main bane of that. That's what's been happening. I mean, I can even recall when you were telling me, hey, I could take my coins and essentially lend them out or lease them to some degree.
Yeah, and I was actually doing that.
And get profit back. And but there's a danger in that. There's a danger in that, and we're seeing it, because when those liquidity calls come in, hey, I want to cash out, and that money isn't there, and you're starting to find out that these exchanges are fraudulent and or doing things to triple and, you know, maximize the money by taking it to another exchange or lending it to a hedge fund. Like, here's one. Let's talk about this one. You had the Canadian crypto broker and lender Voyager Digital, which was recently forced to hastily file Chapter 11 bankruptcy in New York after having suspended account holders from withdrawing assets from their accounts. Voyager had lent $650 million worth of crypto to a hedge fund. Why do you think they did that? To make more money. Three Arrows, which also went under. Voyager hired a law firm to represent the bankruptcy procedures. Blah, blah, blah. That's what we're hearing every freaking week now, right? That they are going under because they're over-leveraged now and then claiming bankruptcy. And here's the big deal. In a bankruptcy, the investors do not get paid back. The creditors get paid anything that they can get paid first.
Correct.
So that is one of the biggest things.
So it doesn't benefit the average investor.
How could it?
Right.
Because of the risk. The risk to me is greater than the reward. And that's why I have been a very, you know, staunch advocate of wait and see. And it's that, you know, like I did a little, but again, nowhere near putting in $1,000 or anything like that where, you know, it would hurt me financially. But I know some people that did, and they were, you know, touting this and, you know, making posts and showing quiet.
I made some nice money off crypto, but I mean, I took money out. I took money off exchanges before any of the exchanges I was involved with, before anything really hit. I mean, yeah, I do follow you. You had a few people bragging. I remember you telling me you had a few people from your end that were bragging.
You saw it too. We were in groups together. You could see people how they were, you know, dealing and dealing, yeah, and, you know, claiming to be experts and talking about Forex and DeFi and this, that, and the other. It's like, okay, hold on. So let me just read this too while we're talking, because we're talking about when they start filing bankruptcy. The priority is the creditors. So in terms of priority of creditors, when an entity files for bankruptcy and a trustee is appointed to determine all of the assets of the debtor available to creditors, among the trustees' tasks to examine transfers made by the debtor to third parties within a certain time period of the bankruptcy filing. Then if the transfers are found to be improper or illegal, the trustee can avoid them in order to recover to recover money in the other transactions. So right. That was big with, the companies that are filing. So here's one, Celsius case. The entity paid its debts to DeFi's biggest lenders, reclaiming over $1 billion in collateral. These payments surely be carefully examined soon, according to bankruptcy code, blah, blah, blah. So you were just speaking about Celsius. So yep. It's saying repayment of the estate's creditors included the unsecured creditors such as Celsius customers. But in Celsius' case, there are several legal challenges. First, it needs to meet the burden of proof requirements, which might not happen based on reports regarding the over-collateralization of the loans that were repaid. So
correct.
You will, as an investor, you probably will never see a dime of the money back that you put in these exchanges if and when they call bankruptcy. And I learned that because, you know, I did that with some oil companies, and a couple of those oil companies, you know, filed bankruptcy, which is just, you know, in some regards, legal maneuvering to buy them time to get out of the debt and then come back. Because I held some stocks and I was like, wait a minute, these cats filed bankruptcy, like, on me. You know, I got a bankruptcy notice. You know, your shares are worth nothing, blah, blah, blah. But then the company still exists, and then they're back in business after they clear bankruptcy. And you're like, wait a minute. So I got effed in that whole process. My money that I took to put in this company to make it whole, to make money, washed out, and then they're still going. And that's kind of what FTX is doing right now. They're in the bankruptcy proceedings. And so we talked about this the other night. You've got Sam Bankman-Fried, who is being charged with, you know, fraud. Mm-hmm. He has money in Robinhood to the tune of, what, $420 million, somewhere in there?
$465 million.
Okay,
$465 million.
Okay, so yeah. So that's, there's three entities fighting on that. So you have the government, which is prosecuting him. You have FTX, the bankruptcy proceedings within the company, because they kicked him out of CEO, appointed a new CEO, trying to keep that exchange going. So they're fighting for it, and he's fighting for it. He wants it to basically be his defense fund and, you know, sustain his livelihood. And, you know, so he's like, I need that money. And you're like, wait a minute, but you were worth what? And now you're fighting because that's really like an investment right there, right? So the investment should, that ain't really nothing you should be touching. So where is the money that this man had?
All right.
So, and then we, you know, we're learning about the story that he had Alameda Research and that he had took that, you know, was taking money and, you know, funneling it through. So there's going to be some, you know, we're going to find out how good our government is in, you know, chasing the money and reclaiming it, because I think that's in a wallet somewhere. And
well, he also has about 400 million allegedly in property that he owns. So
but that's in the Bahamas for the most part, right?
And
in Bahamian or Bahamian law is a lot different than the U.S. because, if I'm not mistaken, they might be able to seize it or something. I had to do a little bit more research, but I know their law is different for those foreign investors, especially
well,
when they're found
guilty
of criminal.
He also has friends in his parents' name. So
right.
That's another, you know, that's another possible scapegoat for him in his mind. But again, you know, again, as you stated earlier, you know, depending on our American justice system and how they come at this, because his parents are involved too.
So let's dial it back. I want to circle back to that right there. We know his parents are law professors or professors at Stanford. Right.
Stanford.
So let's dial it back. They can easily see what that pay scale is and what they made, because they can go back to the taxes just like they did with Trump and see what they made. And they will know, A, you guys didn't pay for this house, even though it's in your name. So they can seize that asset. Once they do the math, because they're going to follow the cash, they're going to follow the money. And once they follow the money, they will know. Like, it's just like, let's say if I make $200,000 a year, but I go buy a $7 million house. How? Where did I get the money from? They're going to follow that.
Yeah.
And so you go and buy some land in the Bahamas, this $8-9 million, and you haven't made that in your lifetime, or you don't have the position for that kind of money, then they know that it pulled or came from somewhere else, even though, you know, it could have been their son gave it to them. They're going to say, nope, we're seizing it, because he didn't have that kind of money. He wasn't earning that kind of money. And Abe, you know, he's legally on the hook for this other situation. So yeah, we're taking that. So, yeah, it may be in their name, but there was even talk about them supposedly trying to put those properties back into FTX's, you know, hands when it started being revealed that they did have property in their name in the Bahamas.
Yeah, that's where, you know, that's where it's like, okay, the parents got paid. You know what I'm saying? Like, literally, money was washed, I believe. And it's just
right.
My opinion.
I
believe they washed his money. They helped him wash money. Aside from other things. But, I mean, how else do you, you know, take $400 million and you've invested it in real estate? Come on, man. Like, literally, you bought a $7 million home here, a $14 million condominium here. Like, I mean, he had like a $14 million condominium in New York. Like, that's just crazy. You know what I'm saying? But again, in one of his parents' names. That's just crazy.
Right. Yeah.
You know? But and they're on the West Coast. You know, they live in California. But again, it's just, you know, it's just like, okay, what's the phrase? The games that people play.
Right.
You know, however, as you stated before, these are individuals' livelihoods, man. Like, literally, people are spending their last on crypto and purchasing of crypto. And I mean, I don't want to get our listeners confused on the fact that, you know, we don't have any type of representation in cryptocurrency, because we do. I mean, we are, whether we are former investors or not, I'm still invested in crypto. I still own quite a bit of crypto to this day, regardless if it goes up and down, which it automatically does, because that's normal.
Right.
Set aside from the stock market, no difference. You know, we own quite a bit of shares in different companies. You know, but again, not trying to confuse our listeners, but literally, this is just straight fraud. And when you have people that say, you know, I spent my whole life savings, that's not funny. You know, it's not comedy when you literally are reading or watching a video recording of someone who has committed suicide because they lost everything through crypto. I mean, just for investing in crypto, have lost everything, whether they had a family or not. You know, whether they had a family or not. And when I mean family, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about a household with a wife and kids. That's what I mean. Not a family like, you know, mom and dad, brother, sister. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in the home where they are major benefactor contributors. That's what I'm talking about. That's the type of individual I'm talking about. And you have investors that are being victims of that. You know, and again, because of the games that the rich and wealthy play. You know, and again, I believe, once again, unnecessary for them to do that. But there aren't any crypto experts. And it just really boils me when I hear that, because I'm just like, dude, because you have more money, more revenue invested in this, doesn't make you necessarily a expert. You know,
correct.
You can't get a degree in cryptocurrency. I'm sorry. There are no degrees in cryptocurrency. There are no degrees in the stock market. There aren't any.
If
somebody listening to the show, if somebody who listens to the show or is listening now can tell me where they're in education form, where I can get a degree in being a stockbroker, please let me know. But that doesn't exist.
Well, we're still finding out. Yeah, we're still finding out about this whole.
So how do we have all of these experts? Again, because what? You bought 1,200 shares of Apple and I only bought two? Because I can only afford two shares of Apple, but you bought 1,200 shares. You see what I'm saying? Like, okay, so, you know, and I'm just saying, Innovator, that literally it just seems to me that it's more of the sum. Like, I've got more, so that makes me, you know, a hierarchy. No, not necessarily true. Not true. You know, so many people go off of Warren Buffett's, you know, every word. Why? That's another human being. That's a man. That's somebody that makes mistakes on a daily, just like you. Why would you follow something, his methods? His methods are risque. But those are his methods. Why would I follow? Why would you follow somebody else's methods?
Oh, well, you know, that's we live in that world. We live in the world of copycats. We live in that world. Like, literally, I was having this conversation with someone else that we live in a world of copycats. You want to know how I know? Somebody went to Dubai. I went to Dubai because they went to Dubai. I didn't go to Dubai because I wanted to go. I went because I saw somebody else go. I saw their pictures, and it looked great. So I wanted to go. Bahamas, somebody else went. I went. I'm not saying me personally, but I'm saying we live in a world of copycats. You got a Beamer? I want a Beamer. Like, nobody has the individuality that people used to have. You know what I mean? Like, we want to... You go to dinner now, you see everybody, as soon as they get their food, they're taking pictures because they want to do what everybody else is doing. Nobody is individual anymore because I want my experiences to be the experiences that you experience. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so we live in that world, even in our personal down to finance. Oh, you got a 3,000 square foot house? Yeah, I'm going to get me a 3,000 square foot house. I might not can afford it, but I want it because you got it and you make it look good. Nobody is living in their means and in their purpose. More people are living these fake lives. And I don't want to make light of it because I know that mental challenges are out there and that people are fighting depression. But why do you see so many young people that are in the influencer space the side of the earth that they're killing themselves and jumping off buildings and doing this? You know, it's they're trying to, you know, feed that animal that social media is, the acceptance, the approval. So that is a bigger dynamic that we're going to talk about more in the show going forward as we rebrand this whole thing to get it, not just talk about finance, but talk about mental health and financial health and physical health. We get more into the depths for things that our people and our culture need to hear, see, and talk about. Like, that's really where I want to go when we talk about rebranding the show and what we're doing. Because, yeah, like, you talk about the experts, and there's really, like I said, when we first talked about, there are no true experts. They're just a lot more versed. But that doesn't truly make them an expert in the means of understanding everything fundamentally, because you got to have a trajectory, right? So a lot of people are just reading blips on a graph. They're reading, you know, a chart. But sometimes you can't really get a good understanding of that chart if you don't have enough history on that chart. And so with us being so new to this, you know, in our, you know, arena, because cryptocurrency, like you said, has been around for a decade, but most people in our realm have only gotten aboard in the last 6 years, maybe a little bit less. So it's interesting that you got so many people touting this. But for me, I'm always going to be cautiously optimistic about anything. So I'm willing to take a couple $100 and see what it does. And I could ride that loss out. I'm going to be salty about it because I don't like really losing. I'm a very competitive person, just to be honest with you. I don't like losing. And But I can lose and still go forward. But you know, it's – you got to look at this, the sum of everything that, like, maybe what's good for you is not for me. And so I could be okay with you being ahead of the curve. And as I learn it, I can get on that same roadway, but I'm not competing with you, and I'm okay with that. But unfortunately, not everyone has that as a dynamic in their life. Like, they want to be nose to nose with you. You just hopped off a flight, I'm hopping on a flight. You just took a cruise, I got to take a cruise. You just bought a whip, I got to buy a whip. And that cycle is why so many people are in this spiral of unhappiness, but trying to look happy. And I can't say for sure that everybody that's smiling is really smiling. You know what I mean? Like, some of those smiles are really cries of attention. Like, these people are fighting for your attention. And so That's why they got to post every day. That's why they got to share every day. That's why they got to tell you everything, because they want that social media of fixation. Like, it's a study out that tells you that people, they get, I forget the exact terminology, but we get this rush, this mental rush, this, you know, there's a gland in our, you know, that we're innately born with. When we get appreciated, when we get admired, when we get adored, something comes off. So you get this physical rush, and it has to be fed all the time with some people once they get addicted to social media. So I'm getting off topic, right? So we're going to go back to the topics we were kind of getting into. So we're, you know, talking about rebranding the show, which I've been delving with some names, and I think that, you know, we'll talk offline about a good name to kind of encompass everything that we're trying to do going forward. So we got that covered. We talked about the current state.
I mean, I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the rebrand. You know, for a minute, you know, it's been, I don't know. I mean, even my wife that listens to our show, after we record every episode, she's like, you know, I think you guys need to rebrand. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, you think so? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, you know, why do you think so? And she was saying, you know, X, Y, and Z, and, you know, just have more things to talk about. She brought up, you know, not, it shouldn't be about finance and things of that, but also, you know, more so financial literacy, which is exactly, and I'm proud of the fact that, you know, I founded this show because I really want to get out financial literacy, not only to, you know, every ethnicity, because you do have some Caucasian ethnicity that aren't versed either. I mean, you know, just because the color of their skin doesn't mean of how they grew up, how a person grows up. Or, you know, was raised. But literally wanting to get out to all cultures, all ethnicities, across the board about financial literacy and the pitfalls and things like that that come about, what needs to be paid attention to, and what's basically like BS, what's trash. But also diving into more so our culture, the African-American culture, where we really get to the roots of really why is it important to invest? Why is it important to invest in generational wealth as a whole? You know, whether for selling insurance and becoming an insurance agent or anything, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the profession. It's just, you know, what are you doing with that profession? Is it just, you know, if it's just a 9-to-5, well, that's not going to accomplish generational wealth. It has to be the 9-to-5 plus this, plus that, plus that, plus that, you know. So it has to be multiple streams. And I think that's what, you know, defines someone of a true millionaire. It's not just one thing. It's a collection of things that person has.
Right.
And so, you know, from my standpoint, that's, you know, I'm really happy that we will be rebranding the show because it's just important, the messages that we get out. I'm proud of us, you know, and of what we've done so far. With that being said, it only gets better from here.
I kind of wanted to just delve in. I know where time is escaping us, but I wanted to delve into what you just said about generational wealth. And so I want this to stand out for a lot of people. So, yes, it is great to look good. It's great to wear brands, but brands do not make you wealthy. And I'm going to say this, it's probably unpopular, but I see more of our peers with closets full of gym shoes and don't own any stock in those gym shoes. And some people are like, well, you know, everybody's got a prerogative and it's a hobby and, you know, they're collecting. I'm like, that's great. But have some financial literacy that owning also is as great as showing that you have it, owning it also, because it's just like the basketball players. They, you know, we see their contracts, like somebody $600 million a year, you know, I mean, $600 million over 10 years, blah, blah, blah. Like, damn, they making money. But who is signing the damn check? You feel me? There's an owner team. And that's what where the real wealth is over them getting paid. So we got to start, like, creating more and more opportunities to be owners. You know, like, there's a lot of people out here, like, generational wealth for us immediately is investing in life insurance policies. The life insurance policies, you're essentially waiting for that to mature, meaning someone has to die. You get paid out a substantial amount of money, and you have to invest in that because a lot of people are walking around underinsured. You're walking around with a $10,000 policy. You're walking around with a, you know, $50,000 policy. And our counterparts, our Caucasian counterparts, are walking around with $1 million policies where we're walking around thinking that we got a 50 or 100. We, man, you're going to be straight. No, like that. And just to carry a $1 million policy is expensive, but you got people buying a pair of Jordans every week, every month that don't have insurance. And I've been in those funerals. I've been in those GoFundMes. I see what we do, and it's like our priorities. And so, like, let me spin it real quick so we can get to the next topic. But, like, building generational wealth, we got to start coming back to the table with these great ideas that we have that we are too scared to get into. We have to form investment partnerships with our peers and, you know, learn about non-disclosures. Hey, I'm going to share this with you, but you're going to need to sign this NDA so that if you take my idea, I have legal merit to sue you. You know what I mean?
Correct.
But we got to be able to take these ideas and stop just wanting to be rappers and athletes. I love that we are good and successful in that field, but man, we got to start shooting higher. Like, there's nothing wrong with that, but had an A plan and a B plan. So if your athletic side fails, that, man, you could still be super successful. Maybe, you know, the athletic side, you don't make it to the NBA or NFL, but you could be a sports, you know, analyst, or you can be a coach, or you can be a fitness trainer running several gyms and mentoring school students and just doing things that we empower ourselves by not just sleeping and having this one track mindset that I'm going to make it doing this because you got to look at making it doing this, that, and that. It was just like I told my own son. I said, you know, I buy things that I think that if I fell on hard times, I could make money off of, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was, you know, bought DJ equipment, or I buy, you know, multiple computers and flip them, or, you know, just different things that we can do to empower ourselves so that we're not so reliant and dependent. And the new wave of the world has created that with the Ubers and, you know, stuff like that. We don't have to be holding to work in a regular 9-to-5. You can be a little creative and work outside of that spectrum. And that's great. But we are $1 million. We're an idea away from being a millionaire. And we have to focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
So going back into the other topics, we got Kanye West. Where is he? As of late,
I don't know where he is, but
I think that he probably is taking a moment to really sit back and realize a lot of what he has done has impacted him probably more negatively than he thought it would. And so he might just be like really getting his thoughts together. He might be in a studio crafting. But anytime you see Kanye West, it's typically he does a huge, you know, rant, and he's all on social media, and he's crazed up for a minute, and then he dials it back down and comes back with some great music. But the only thing now, though, is that he, in my humble opinion, has probably burned more bridges and disenfranchised associations than he can recover from, like he has in the past when he had, did, you know, some of the stuff that people's like, oh, he crazy, because contracts were closed, deals were severed, ties were cut, lawyers quit. When I was, you know, kind of looking through some stories, it's currently saying that he has 3 lawsuits that he's fighting, 1 or 2 of which need to have representation in court tomorrow. And if he does not, it is very likely that the judge will basically award the plaintiffs with, you know, they'll award them a win verdict where he would be liable for money. Because it's just like when you got a suit brought against you and you don't have representation or you don't go to the court to challenge it, it could be ruled in favor of the plaintiff. So he's got a $6 million lawsuit that he's fighting over unpaid wages for workers that were working extremely hard for him on this Nebuchadnezzar project that he did. Then he's got another lawsuit with a former manager that he had said, hey, you're going to be my it man, you're going to handle everything. And then he fired him, but he was technically in breach of contract because of that. So that's one. And the third one I'm not fully versed in, but I do know that there are 3 pending litigation issues to which his previous law team quit, and he has not went back to court with new lawyers. And so tomorrow there's the very likelihood that if he doesn't have representation to, you know, basically address this case, he will be probably to be defaulted and they would be awarded $6 million, which he'd be liable for. So,
I mean, that's really a problem. But again, as you stated, the type of the way he's burned the bridges,
right,
is I think also very significant. I mean, but you know, I wouldn't say he's necessarily laying low. I would just say, you know, he has moments where he's like almost like a ticking time bomb. And then once the bomb explodes, it goes off. Okay, now it's a dud. What's left is a dud, you know, and it's no more. And I think that's kind of how he's living life. He's traveling around, flying around, allegedly two right wingers, Nick Fuentes and someone else, who basically exudes nothing but hate amongst ethnicities and cultures, which is not good at all. And is basically, in my opinion, extremely bad move. But, you know, literally, he's also met with Trump a couple of times, allegedly. So I really don't think he's laying low on purpose. I really just think people are tired of him. And people are tired of reading about him and are not really jumping to, you know, oh, well, let me film what's going on with Kanye West. Like, I don't think, you know, I really don't think that's what people care about anymore.
And essentially his influence and his brand has diminished significantly. I mean, that's real deal. Like, you can't be associated with Kanye West in his current form. It does no good. You got to look at 2 people that were, you know, affiliated with him, or, you know, 3 people. There may be more, but I know that Big Sean, I know that John Legend, and I know that even Pusha T, who was like really, really, really sticking by his side, had disassociated from him because they have projects, they have relationships, and it's like, look, I know you were my man, and I know you brought me in the game, and I know you helped push my career, but I cannot associate with you in your current form. You know, being a Jewish, dismisser, or, you know, telling people you're going to go, DEFCON 5 or whatever their words were, even if you misconstrued them, there is a such thing as being humble and apologizing and taking the L and getting it over with. You can come back from that. Nick Cannon is proof. Many others are proof. But the longer you stay out there and you say, nah, I'm sticking to my story and that's what it is. Hey, a lot of people gonna respect you for being strong on your word and standing to your truth. But I know, in this capacity of living in the world that I've lived in for 49 years, that there are powers that be, and that you cannot change anything overnight within the realm of the powers that be. They literally get on phones and tell things. They say things. They manipulate things. And you can't beat that power, no matter if you got $2 billion, because we saw that fake $2 billion get diminished extremely quickly. Like, I posted something, guy gets on my post and tells me, yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. Yay, worth, what? And then, yeah, he could take his money here. And then you find out, oh, that's not really the kind of money he had, because it was tied up into endorsement deals. It was tied up into, you know, his brand value. You know, a lot of people don't know what brand value is. You know, brand value is potential. But they're thinking, you know, because a lot of us are ignorant, we hear, oh, he's worth $900 million. No, that's not liquid money in the bank. That's potential, because this deal over here is that. And if he gets another deal over here, it could represent that. And he's taking in this kind of money for this. But then you find out, oh, well, and you know, we're talking rich people problems, right? So I don't want to act like I'm a expert, but hey, at the end of the day, that so many billion is relatively smaller than what it really was, and a lot more less than what people thought it was.
Same with Trump.
Correct. But, you know, when we say, you know, the world that we live in, Forbes estimated net worth, a lot of people do not understand what brand value is. Trump had brand value before the presidency. You hear rappers talking about Trump in their raps, because he was considered and assumed to be worth a lot of money because of his brand, the Trump brand, Trump Tower. You know, that brand was worth so much money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's where a lot of assumptions came in at. So we're going to skip over that because we almost out of the show, but getting down to Orlando Brown of That So Fame. He has gotten in trouble again, essentially, long story short, got into an altercation at his brother's home, who he was staying with.
In Ohio.
Correct. Lima, Ohio, pulled a knife and got the knife or whatever, got knocked away. But bruh was like, yeah, all this crazy shit, you got to go, bruh. And so he was arrested, because essentially he's homeless. We do know that he has, you know, drug addiction problems and stuff like that. So outside all that, I'm going to pray for him, and I hope that he gets the kind of help and healing that he needs, because whatever he's doing is self-destruction, and it's detrimental to him. And he's, you know, he needs, at the very least, that he can get better. Say again.
Does he still have any type of existing income?
So, you know, they get residuals, but I'm not sure that's So Raven is heavy in, you know, rotation where they get those royalty checks. So, I mean, it let's say, you know, I mean, Raven was the star on that show. So her royalty checks are going to be significantly more. And I will say that the show's been off the air for several years. So, you know, you're not talking about something that's like a Everybody Loves Raymond, Everybody Hates Chris type of show that, you know, people are watching, heavily engaging in right now. So, you know, you only get paid off of how that works in those, you know, the the numbering game that that works with, you know, so it could be some small checks, not enough to sustain somebody that has a, you know, bad drug habit or, you know, heavily in debt, because I'm assuming he's probably heavily in debt, having that kind of a addiction. So
yeah,
that's unfortunate. But like I said, the prayers are lifted, you know, for him to get into a better place, because I know what addiction is like, having had family members, you know, be in that realm of the world. So wrapping that up, big story here in Tennessee is that there were five officers that were essentially married and having interracial relations in a police station in Laverne, Tennessee. One Caucasian police officer with, you know, two blacks, one of them was married and one Hispanic, and then three other Caucasian or whatever officers. And we're talking sergeants, we're talking, you know, lieutenants. Yeah, it's a big shakeup. And so essentially they were, you know, doing their thing. She was just in there with, and she was married as well, but she was in there with like five other officers, and they were taking their turns and doing Lord what knows what. And so something happened, it triggered an investigation, and that's what happened. So I will tell you that I've seen one of the police officers in my time down here. I've seen him before, and probably want to say I got pulled over for a headlight that was out by this officer. So yeah, it's crazy. And you know, you can Google that, because the link, the information is in the link of the podcast, so you can go check that out and see the story. But it's crazy. She's married, several other people are married, and they were just doing what they were doing. She unloads a gun and then puts it at her head and shoots it just to see what it sounds like. I mean, it's mad crazy. Like, them families are broke up, shook up over all that craziness. But police doing their, you know, some.
Did she kill herself?
No. But it was a reflection on her mental state and the fact that I think it started getting out of hand, because it was going on for a while. But, yeah, it was going on during the night shift, and they were doing some night work. And, yeah, it's like I said, it's an interesting story. You can see some of the story on YouTube if you just type in Laverne Police Department, suspended or fired for sexual, you know, issues, that it'll come up. And I'm telling you, just look at it. It's a
okay
hoop. But that wraps up this show. We will be back. We're going to be bringing you some other details, topics, and great information, some contests, and launching the show with a new name, get some music, all that good stuff, because we're about to turn this show into a very hot podcast. So we're refining it, and we just want you guys to keep on listening and stay tuned. You got anything, boss?
No, I mean, I second the motion. I'm just excited for the new journey that we're on in regards to rebranding our show and just moving forward into the future, because, yes, this show will be lit. It will be really, really lit. So, you know, it won't be, you know, all boring and finance and all like that. Total, it's more so, we're just going to be shooting shit. So it's all about let's talk about it. So
there you go.
Sign off, DJ Innovator. I'm Pedro Thomas. And you have listened to episode 6 of the Stock Talk with Pedro podcast show that will soon be rebranded to another name. So stay tuned. Peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to Stock Talk with Pedro. This is DJ Innovator, the executive producer, and I just wanted to say thanks for listening to the podcast. We've got a whole lot more coming your way, so stay tuned. We'll see you soon.